Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge being here in the presence of my colleagues, both from Boston University, those who are not here with us, and also you, because it's a delight to be here presenting to the Academic Public Health Caucus and hearing about something that is really important to all of us, which is interdisciplinary, interprofessional, and transdisciplinary education and practice. I'm going to be really, as I mentioned, I love to talk fast, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to introduce Valerie Tobiah, who is an MPH student at Boston University School of Social Work and a graduate of our MSW program and in our MSW-MPH program, and Dr. Luz Lopez, who is a clinical associate professor at Boston University School of Social Work and one of my treasured colleagues. So, we do not have any presenter disclosures today. Maybe someday we will. I want to talk a little bit about what is public health social work and how we define ourselves. I think probably we are one of the unknowns for many of you. So we view ourselves as a practice based on an epidemiologic approach and formed by epidemiology to preventing, addressing, and solving social health problems. And we have been around a long time. We are not new. We are grounded in early 20th century social work. We partnered with docs and nurses for 100 years ago on infectious disease control, MCH. We do know what the MCH Bureau is on settlement houses. Our work is very much focused on what you might think of as ecological or person-in-environment approaches. We have, within social work, a very historic and long-standing embrace of the public health model. Here are a couple quotes that really illustrate this. We've been working together for a long time, both separately and together. We are working now, as we all know, and this has probably been true for as long as I've been in the field, in a rapidly changing healthcare environment, where we're converging on many issues, and I think that's one of the great gifts of Healthy People 2020 is that it allows us and invites that convergence. What you may not know is that the majority of social workers work in healthcare settings. There's a lot of common ground between public health and social work, from our mission all the way to our goals, to our approaches. We tend to draw from different, from similar science bases. We may use different language, but we are all focused on these environmental issues that we are thinking a lot about, and strengths, and how to improve human well-being. There are, however, critical differences, or else we wouldn't put together MSW-MPH programs. You just have to do one or the other. And the differences have to do a lot with our area of focus. Social work is known as, when I'm in an irreverent mood, I might call it the wipe-up operation profession, where you dial, we can't get this, get this, get the social worker, right? Our emphasis is on problem solving and on intervening when problems have already occurred, and this is in distinction to public health, where the emphasis tends to be more macro, the use of systems and population sciences to focus. We often say, both in public health and social work, that what's going on for us is in public health up on the balcony, and that social work is definitely down on the dance floor of the community. So here's your balcony, here's your dance floor, and there's where we are. And one of the ways we conceptualize what we do in public health social work is that we run up and down the stairs for you and with you in a fluid transdisciplinary practice approach. So when you think about putting together MSW-MPH programs, you've got to really conceptualize how these things are going to come together in an educational program, why they are necessary and needed. Why we need public health social work is the same reason why we need this whole conference, all of public health, is we're all working on these same issues. And as someone from Boston with many, many family in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, I'm particularly mindful of the natural disasters phenomena that we are coping with this week, and want to give a shout out to the people that, even while we are celebrating here, are struggling there. So obviously many other things could be on this chart, but these are the things that when we are telling people you need a public health and social work education to really make impact, these are the things we cite. We have dual degree programs in this country, actually a lot of them. Many of you in public health schools know this. They attract a lot of critically compelling, interesting students who are interested in building in the overlap, and they really are asking us some important questions about how you cross disciplines. And I'm really fascinated by that because I think we're just at the most primitive stage of understanding how to do transdisciplinary education and practice together. What do we know about these programs? Well, not a lot. We know we need to know more. Miller, Hopkins, and Greif. McClellan wonders whether or not there's a market for dual professionals. Those of you who are MD-MPHs in this room can probably testify to the fact that there is. The same is true in social work. In our own working group, we have found that between MSW and MPHs, we find a lot of satisfaction with MSW-MPH compared to MSW only, but there are some crucial differences, and part of what we want to talk about today is how we're trying to get at those issues. This study aimed to better understand what the experience of one group was coming out of a large, established MSW-MPH program. We're actually the largest and the oldest, with currently 51 students in it. This survey that we use, this instrument we have created by 5 graduates of our program, so through a series of sitting together and asking, what is it that we need to know about these hundreds of people who are emerging who are MSW-MPHs that we don't really have much understanding of? So there are the 4 questions. Here's how we got to our sample. I mostly talk to everybody, and I am able to get emails from them, so that's our major way of maintaining our database. We were able to get to 73% of our alumni, and we were able to distribute this. I think we distributed it 4 times. So we also did a series of focus groups that we aren't going to be reporting on today, but I'm going to let Valerie tell you a little bit about what we found.
Thank you, Betty. So just as a reminder, we were only able to talk to people who had active emails, but our response rate was pretty high. It was 71.4%, and we had about 88% female who were responders, which is really indicative of what our program looks like as well. Our years of graduation, the program at BU is really growing exponentially, and you know there is a question about whether we could obtain emails for people who graduated recently a little bit easier, but we know from our numbers that our program is really expanding and it's doing fantastically well. When we look at social work, the School of Social Work has currently 2 concentrations, macro practice or clinical practice. Our group work was rolled into our social work concentration, but we did have some people who responded who had done group work early in their social work career. 2/3 of us are clinical social workers, so therapists, clinicians. When we look at public health concentrations, this changes every year a little bit, but it stays pretty much the same. So every cohort that goes through, there's a little bit more movement, but we really stay in the same 4 places: international health, maternal and child health, health policy management, and then social and behavioral health. When we're looking at educational debt, the majority of our respondents came in with no undergrad debt, but we can see really starkly that most of us are leaving with more than $50,000 in debt. And that just shows that our programs are really expensive and we need more funding for them. When we're looking at employment, pretty much everyone who wants to be employed is employed, which is a fantastic, fantastic result. 75 of us almost are employed full-time, and those who aren't employed full-time are primarily caregivers at home, and that is what their choice is going to be, so it's great that we're all employed if we want to be. When we look at current employment position, 62% of us say that most of it is really in a public health social work field, and then the other large percent is social workers alone. But we really do identify as well as work in public health social work areas. When we're looking at workplace roles, we're not surprised to find that we're administrators, clinicians, and program developers, but what we are surprised to find is that only 34% are clinicians, whereas 2/3 of our graduates are coming out as clinicians. So we may be majoring as clinicians, but then we don't necessarily all work in that field. When we're looking at areas of practice, we're still in the same places we expect as well, in hospitals, rehab, community mental health, and substance abuse. Yearly income, it was really interesting to see that about 50% of us make less than $60,000 a year, and 50% of us make more than $60,000 a year. We did not break this down by year of graduation, so we don't know if that has to do with early graduates compared to graduates who've been out for 20 years, but it is really important just to look at where we're sitting income-wise as well. And then our professional identity, most of us find that we're public health social workers or social workers. And then licensure and leadership, most of us are currently social work licensed even though we're not practicing there. And then we look at how we're integrating it. And most of us can really easily draw from both disciplines, but don't necessarily believe that our workplace is integrating us well or understands where we're coming from. And we're seeing that same thing in the slide right here. And then I'm turning it over to Dr. Lopez.
So I have good news, because when we ask, had you had a job where you identify as both public health and social work, we expected maybe one quarter of people, when in reality almost half identify as public health social workers, which is wonderful, and they are integrating both in their jobs. When we look at the competencies and core functions, we are in all of them. These are also directly from the CDC core functions. And we inform, educate, and empower people about health issues and link people to needed personal health services and provision of health care and evaluate effectiveness and are in research arenas as well as service arenas. If we look at the qualitative portion of the study, one person that I think summarizes well the role said, "In my role in my community as a liaison, our focus was in childhood obesity. I was the person to come in and help them bridge that help between relationships in the community, help them translate that research into actual practice." And if we look at the discussion of the positive, we report high satisfaction and ability to draw from theories, perceive themselves as uniquely skilled to brought the two positions together. In terms of concerns, it's mostly females. The debt issue is a problem. Encounter workplaces that do not necessarily appreciate and understand the role of public health social work. And this survey was conducted at Boston University. We need to do a broader research. And if we look at the implication of practice, we are translators of important transdisciplinary concepts. We are intentional actors working in public health and social work. And we recognize the challenges that investing in this program brings, but we hope that you as educators and academicians spend more time in the public health social work arena. And we want to acknowledge all these people that help us make this study possible. Thank you so much.